Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another episode of the Left Doors Podcast. Derek Kramer,
Frank Arcuri,
and we come at you all the time, every time, on WGR550.com. On-demand audio, on our own folder. We got our own folder. I know that we've had it for a long time, but it's always nice to appreciate that you've got something that you can call your own, right?
Yeah.
See? You know, not bad. I'm very stupidly happy today.
Yeah, you really seem happy today for
and
some
I
reason.
And I really don't have a reason to be. And, of course, this is going to change because the more we talk about a certain play from a Bills game, I'm going to get a little more focused, and I'm going to sound a little more agitated, but right now I'm cool. Like, the Sabres are good.
Yeah.
I mean, even though they've had a rough stretch.
Well, we know the streak was bound to end, and they...
And that game took a lot out of them.
Yeah.
You knew they were not skating their hardest, and that's because of the fact that, well, they had their energy zapped by Tampa. Yes, I said zapped by Tampa.
Ha.
The Lightning.
Ha-ha.
I didn't mean it as a pun. I meant to say sapped. But I stuck with it.
I mean, zapped is a nice way to put it.
It's not
it
like
is, it's not the wrong way.
It's not like it's an inaccurate term to describe what happened.
Yes.
It's just that I happened to say a pun when I didn't necessarily mean to.
Yeah.
But it still sounded okay.
Yeah.
And then the Bills game. I'm sorry, but that was everything that a fan could want in that game. Your number 7 overall pick did things to get you back into that game. He had some plays that were left on the field. He always does. That's kind of his MO. But what did he do other than that? He elevated. And that's huge. And then for some fans, they even lost moving up in the draft order. Which to some people, that's important to them.
Sure.
I'm always a firm proponent of hit your picks no matter where you got them.
Yeah.
You don't need to tank in order to do it.
The only reason you would tank is for a transcendent talent.
And in the NFL, that's harder to have to tank for because usually you're tanking for a quarterback. And that's not always guaranteed to be the best player in any draft class.
Right.
However, now that we've gotten Tank Philosophy 101 down, that Bills game really did offer me everything that I could have wanted in it. Could I have wanted a win against Miami? Yeah, I hate the Dolphins. I think they're frauds. But them beating the Bills kind of continues my story of they haven't beaten anybody. Because this year the Bills are kind of nobody, right?
Yeah.
And in that game, they were just Josh Allen. We are all Josh Allen. I am Josh Allen.
Are you Josh Allen?
I am Josh Allen. I was kind of hoping you'd go along with it, and then you would go, I am Josh Allen. And then I would
guess
go,
I'm Josh
Buffalo
Allen.
Is Josh Allen.
I mean, Buffalo is Josh Allen, yes, I can agree with that.
No, because it's not true. And there's a certain play because of that, that I can easily use as evidence that Buffalo is not all in on Josh Allen.
Yeah, I know, it's the last play. You know I'm right.
Oh, it's yeah, that's the evidence I'm presenting. I know you're right. You didn't even need to say that you were right. Because what you're saying is what I'm about to say.
Go ahead. Go on.
It's a chicken and the egg argument, I think, at the end of the day. Like, yesterday, I was like, yeah, that's on Charles Clay. And absolutely, I think that it is at the end of the day. When a play ends with a ball hitting your hands with a legitimate chance to come up with it, I'm not talking miracle. I'm not talking off your fingertips. I'm talking that thing hit him in the hands. And as a receiver, he's going to say it himself, that was his fault. He's going to say it, that, you know, that play ended with it hitting my hands. And that's pretty much the correct way on this. There are some that say that could be a better ball.
I think that ball slipped.
That ball slipped.
Ever so slightly.
But do remember this.
But he was also thrown across his body from...
Across his body, off platform.
Yeah.
40 yards across the field.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
No, it's not.
And as a matter of fact, I commend Allen for even getting that ball out, because on 4th and 11, the quarterback's biggest job at that point is this ball cannot end with a sack.
Yeah.
Cannot. That is absolute, like, worst case scenario, you throw it up and it probably gets picked off.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing is worse than taking a sack on a 4th down play to end the game. Yeah. Nothing is worse.
Cam Newton knows how that.
Cam Newton knows that from the playoff game against the Saints. You cannot have it end with the ball in your hands and someone climbing off of you.
Yeah, so he did everything he had to.
He did everything he had to.
And then
some.
Yeah.
Because within a second, Jeremiah Searles is bull rushed right into Allen's pocket. Allen does not like that. He knows he needs to have a pocket to throw out of here. So what's he tried to do? He tries to bail out of it. What happened? Jordan Mills got beat on the right tackle. What happened there? He goes to the left. Deion Dawkins has finally been beaten by his man.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt Teller and Ryan Groy have one guy covered, but that's one on two.
Yeah.
Everyone else on the offensive line was, for the most part, beat. So what's he do? He runs around, and I'm going, oh, no, here we go.
He's running
Let's
around.
Let's see how this ends.
Yeah.
I did not.
Running for his life.
I did not expect a ball to be put accurately toward a player. I did not expect it, because that is not an easy ask. That is asking way too much out of somebody. Because right now he is running for his life. There are three players in his backfield trying to go after him.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? Well, the offensive linemen get back involved to help set up a throw. You see at the end of it, there's one final block put on right before the throw. And I'm pretty sure it was Deion Dawkins who throws his shoulder into the last pursuer of Josh Allen after he has shed the other two.
Yeah.
There's one more coming after him, and there's like one last chip. And then Allen is able to just muster up what he's got and heave a duck down the field. Most quarterbacks, that ball's not going that direction. He recognized where Clay was.
Also, most quarterbacks aren't running for their life like that.
Most quarterbacks aren't running for their life. Most quarterbacks are not having that play end that way.
Okay.
You know, I think there's three quarterbacks in the NFL that could have had that ball released on launch point.
Like what Allen did?
Like what Allen did. Allen, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. What about Russell Wilson?
Four quarterbacks could do that in the entire NFL. Wilson absolutely could do that.
Yeah.
So there it is. There's your short list of players that I now expect that ball will leave their hands when that situation is thrust upon them, and they're not asking for it. I saw a tweet earlier today that made me think, absolutely, I agree with this. If you weren't impressed with Josh Allen's game yesterday, you're never going to like him.
Yeah.
I'm not talking just about the last play.
Yeah.
I am talking overall.
Yeah.
If you do not like what he did yesterday, you're never going to like him. You're going to stay entrenched in your thoughts and your opinions. And you know what? That's fine. That's what an opinion is. It's the beauty of an opinion. Opinions are like b-holes. Everyone's allowed to have one.
Sure.
And I'm still not sure I'm allowed to say b-hole either.
You're
and I just
fine.
Did it twice.
You're
Whatever. It's a podcast. My biggest thing is this. At the end of the day, on that play, it does fall to Charles Clay, not because the ball hit his hands and he dropped it. There's something about receiving, Frank. When a quarterback is in trouble, what do?
Get open.
Clay was open. It's not what I'm saying, though. When a quarterback is in trouble and you're on a deep route, your biggest rule is to come back to him.
Yeah.
Help him.
Yeah.
Get back there. Calvin Benjamin continuously fails at this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted him gone 3-4 months ago at this point. But a good wide receiver will know, oh, crap, my quarterback's in trouble. I got to get back over there. Unless their job was head down streak and you're the decoy. And on 4th and 11, I don't think that was everyone's job. Certainly not the tight end's job.
Now,
Charles Clay is standing in the end zone.
Yeah.
Go back to him. Because if he comes back to that ball and say he catches it on the 10, we still got a ball game.
Yeah,
there's still a minute left.
That's my question. There's a minute left in the game on 4th and 11. It's your last chance to keep this game alive.
Ball doesn't need to go to the end zone.
It doesn't. Is that more on play calling?
No. Because you want to have options for the end zone.
Sure, but
that play was destroyed within a second, Frank.
Okay, yeah.
Because the receivers are still running their routes. Within that first second, the pocket has already been compromised.
Yeah, and the receiver's just going to keep going. And in that case,
the receiver's
going
to finish their route and recognize what's going on, or not finish their route and see, oh, got to get back to the quarterback. He's in trouble.
Yeah.
And like you said,
I'm just wondering,
open, find a place to hang out and get the ball.
I ask about play calling because why not? And I'm not putting at any fault on Dable for that, for the play anyway. I thought, you know, it's like you said, Allen did everything he had to.
I'm putting that on the offensive line first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But why not go make a play, have a play call for another sideline throw?
No. Because of the fact that there is still
no
timeouts.
Like, get the first down and get out of bounds. Because there's still a minute left in the game, and now you're you have first down, and now you got more chances.
No, and here's why: on 4th and 11, your first job is getting beyond the sticks, no matter where it is, sideline or middle of the field. Your first job is every single player had better be beyond the sticks.
Yeah, I mean, and they could have even had any, you know, any just a first down play in general. Just it didn't have to just be end zone. But I agree. With the offensive line getting blown up right away, it compromised all that.
It compromises it, and like you said, your job ends up becoming getting open.
Yeah.
But another thing is that if you're on a vertical route, you got to come back. And that's where my problem lies. Charles Clay did not come back to the quarterback. Charles Clay misjudged the football. He didn't need to die for that thing. Just run back for it, man. He probably catches that on his feet at like the 5. Instead of having to try to dive for it in the front of the end zone. But that said, I'm not going to get too harshly on Charles Clay there. It is a tough catch. You are paid a lot of money to make the catch. And your contract is going to go down in recent Bills history as one of the more disappointing free agent signings. So you do, like... You know, you do need to come down with that thing. But at the end of the day, a spade's a spade. It's a tough catch.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely a tough catch.
But am I going to blame Josh Allen for any of this?
No. The only thing you could say was the ball could have been thrown better. But as I said, I think just by virtue of the way what had happened on that play and what he had to do, you can't really... put much blame
on him. The strangest thing is that Josh Allen, if he had eyes in the back of his head, would have realized the last pursuer was no longer in the play after he is hit by an offensive lineman. So he would have had time to set his feet.
Yeah.
But again, doesn't have eyes in the back of his head. He's pretty sure there's still a guy coming after him. He throws off platform across his body because, there's Charles Clay.
He's got to be ready for it. He's got to be ready to be hit.
Yeah. Like, he knows that there's someone there still. Like,
yeah.
According to him, there's someone still after him. But that play is kind of overshadowing something. It overshadows what Josh Allen did in the fourth quarter. It overshadows what Josh Allen's second half looked like.
Yeah, like I only watched the second half of the game because I work till 2 o'clock at my other job.
Yeah,
so I didn't get to watch the first half. But the second half that I watched of Allen, I thought he was very impressive.
He was the reason the Bills were in this game.
Yeah.
And I've said it once, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it for the rest of the year because I know it's not going to be able to happen until after the year is over. When he gets an offensive line, there might be something here with him. That is it. If they get an offensive line, a full complementary offensive line, you have something there. Yeah. Wyatt Teller looked like a rookie yesterday. He did. Russell Bodine got hurt, and Ryan Groy has been terrible.
And now Bodine's out for the season.
So guess what? We got to deal with more of that.
He had surgery on his leg. Great. They did bring in someone.
Jordan Mills was someone we were looking to have replaced.
Yeah.
He suddenly became the team's third best offensive lineman by default. They finally got Vlad Dukas out of the lineup and back into the inactives where he should be. John Miller has not been able to rebound. and find that magic from his rookie year. They have a lot of work to do on that front five. Mm-hmm. A lot of work to do. And I think Teller and Dawkins are the only ones you really want to realistically keep as starters next year. Teller, give competition to.
Yeah.
But everyone else, you need a center, a guard, and a tackle. You need an offensive line, a whole side of one at least.
That's why my thought process is that they go out and they probably sign and draft a guards, two of them, probably sign a tackle, and I'd like to see them draft a center.
You ready for the fun part here, Frank? You want to do some numbers?
Sure.
We're going to do math on a podcast.
Let's do math.
Math. You ready for math?
I guess.
Math.
I failed math.
Math. Well, guess what we're going to do?
Go
we're
going
to do some math.
Go
ready
on.
Ready for math?
I guess.
Josh Allen was 18 of 33 for 231 yards passing, and he added 135 yards on the ground. Combine those numbers for me, please.
366.
Cool. The entire offense gained 415 on the afternoon.
Neat.
So please grab the calculator and give me the percentage on 366 of the 415 yards.
Calculator.
Because if I'm not mistaken, LeSean McCoy had 52 rushing yards.
88%.
Josh Allen had 88% of your yardage. Your offense.
Let's double check that. Make sure.
Frank, I wrote the game story and the statistics. I know those numbers. I had to do it twice because the story ate itself and deleted itself. Trust me, they're ingrained in my head. Sometimes you get tormented when you look at numbers on long enough time. The Dolphins only had 175 total yards for their own. For the day. The whole day. They had 175 yards, Frank.
Yeah, I see.
That's gross.
I see, yeah.
And guess what, Frank? Yes? Let the people know, I'm not looking at anything.
I know you're not.
I'm sitting here. I'm remembering these numbers because of the fact that I had to rewrite the story twice. But it's impressive to see that sort of thing happen. But there were three things about this game that made sure you lost it. One, your special teams was terrible yesterday. Awful.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Hauschka's worst game as a Bill. A rare off day for him. He misses an extra point. He misses a field goal. But I'm not going to put it all on him. You want to know why, Frank? When a kicker gets a new holder, sometimes things aren't right.
This is true.
And because of that, sometimes you see a hiccup in the kicking game for that day. And then, of course, there's the muff punt. That flipped the game because that gives Miami the lead.
That ended up resulting in a touchdown, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It didn't give them the lead. They already had the lead because of the missed extra point. But Miami was out to that 8-point lead. Then Buffalo fights back and gets a field goal. And then they had to keep fighting from there. Their first half offense wasn't good. But you know what happens if you don't muff that punt? They're not scoring.
Yeah.
Because they had only 20-some-odd yards to go to get that drive taken care of. Did it hurt that the defense gave up a 75-yard drive to open the game? Yeah, it did. It's not ideal. You don't want to see your defense giving up an opening drive. Especially when Miami is just not that good. As a matter of fact, they gained 100 yards for the rest of the day. But what happened? They were the ones that win the game, despite only getting 175 yards. The Bills' offense in the first half did not take advantage of anything. They did not take advantage of peak field condition or position in the first half, including just I remember it was like a bad punt of sorts. Next thing you know, we're on the Bills are on like the 40-yard line heading in. We're just like, okay, Bills have something here. Nope. They didn't take advantage of a turnover, unfortunately. It was a bailout and an arm punt right after Josh Allen got picked off.
Yeah.
What a terrible throw that was by Tannehill. Woof. But again, it just, it's baffling to me how the team could lose the game if you look at the hard numbers on that. But Josh Allen was the reason they were back in this game. Josh Allen was the reason they took a lead. It's unfortunate to see that the game didn't end with a win.
I guess. Yeah, no, it is.
But because Josh Allen looked so good, you can take something really nice out of this. Hey, this is number 7 overall pick guy. Not that bad without an entire offensive line and maybe 2 good receivers.
He does seem to be getting smarter with his decisions.
He is. And that's paramount.
Yeah.
Now my biggest test is going to be for the rest of the season. Let's see how you can handle things.
Yeah.
You're going to have a Jets team that is going to prepare for you again. Throw Matt Barkley again. Throw Matt Barkley in again. Just throw him off. I'm fully kidding on that, of course. But you also have to look at Detroit, Matt Patricia. He is a guy who schemes.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be an interesting matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna the have talent's to face not Miami. Necessarily there.
You got to face New England again.
You got to face New England with Josh Allen.
Yep.
And you've got Miami again.
Yep.
It is not unrealistic to see him come out of this with a winning record for the season.
Was he at right now 3-4?
Yes.
Okay. He might.
If he takes every game but the New England one, he comes out as a regular season record with a winning record.
Oh, God, then the Bills will finish 7-9.
I don't care what their record is.
I know.
I want to see what happens here with Josh Allen. And yesterday was literally that kind of game. Well, you lost, but Josh Allen looked really good. That's literally what that game was. How many times have we said, I don't care how this game goes as long as Josh Allen looks okay? Well, outside of a unfortunate end of the game, the only thing Josh Allen didn't do was finish the job. That's it. He came back and marched down the field on some very impressive throws. Josh Allen's looking pretty legitimate here. And again, if your takeaway is that you didn't like how he played, you're never going to like him. That's a shame because right now it's looking like he's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm behind on that.
But again, you're noticing though, I didn't get angry at anything. I didn't go on any stupid rant. Because again, I saw the rookie quarterback do exactly what I wanted him to do for the second straight week.
Mm-hmm.
Last week I said, don't throw up all of yourself, Josh Allen, against the talented Jaguars defense. He didn't. He turned trash, man, and his bungling team into a team that lost again. I don't know how they beat the Colts. Let's not talk about that. Because I know I picked the Colts.
Defense. I know, I did too.
Or not Blake Bortles.
Not Blake Bortles. Cody Kessler won the game.
Cody Kessler won a game.
So again, Cody Kessler only gave the Jags offense 6 points.
But again, he took that defense that infuriated Andrew Luck, and he did things against them. He didn't throw up all over himself.
Yep.
And then what did I? Then the next thing I wanted was, all right, show me a step up. Show me you can take this team and lead them to something here. Show me that you've got offensive prowess here. What's he do? Literally that.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, hosting the fantasy show for a 5-week stretch, I could not talk about anyone possibly being fantasy relevant. I could do that again. You want to know why? 17's in the lineup. Josh Allen might be an emergency quarterback at this point. If you have Derek Carr, or if you have Andy Dalton who's out for the year, or...
First off, something went wrong if you have those two.
You just didn't draft a quarterback till late.
Or something went wrong.
But again, or like you had Jameis Winston, things like that.
I just picked him up in one of my leagues.
Yep.
And he had 25 points.
Yeah. But again, a lot of this comes down to, hey, Josh Allen's kind of making some Bills fantasy relevant again. Zay Jones.
Mm-hmm.
If you had Zay Jones and you played very boldly started him.
You got some points.
He got you a lot of cheddar.
Yeah.
Robert Foster is a boomer bust player. But if he connects, they missed barely on that deep bomb. A pretty deep ball. Robert Foster almost comes down with it.
Mm-hmm.
If the Bills get some legitimate talent to this man and get him an offensive line, we could be talking about a special team. We really can. That's awesome to think about. That is probably the most impressive thing about it. All right, Frank. I think we can move on from that, right?
Do you want to do pick-ups or you want to do hockey or something else?
Yeah, let's keep to the football thing until we have to not.
Okay.
Let's get this over with because I already know there were two games that I lost in the Bills and the Colts. Oh, so, and I picked the not Cowboys because why would I ever pick the Cowboys to beat the Saints?
Same.
That's three right there. I know I somehow stupidly probably did something dumb like pick Cleveland or Baltimore. Did Baltimore win?
Yeah.
I picked Pittsburgh. I know that.
Yeah. Matt, well, remember your thing with Baltimore was you picked the Ravens if Lamar Jackson started.
That's right. I did.
And he did.
And he got concussed, but he did. Did.
But that means you picked Baltimore and they still won.
Woo!
You won this week.
Frank, the 9 wins that you had over me before the start of that week?
It's 9 games.
9 wins. You have 9 wins over me. You have picked 9 more wins than I have.
Yeah, I know.
That's what it is.
I know.
So guess what? I don't care what kind of gap I'm closing in on here.
Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why you won this week. We both picked New Orleans and Buffalo, and that didn't happen. We both picked Baltimore. They won. Denver, Rams. Green Bay lost. Chicago lost. Carolina lost.
The Bears lost the third.
Well, Chase Daniels also a quarterback. Cool. Indy lost. Houston won. Tennessee won. I picked Minnesota or New England. New England won. You got that with New England. I got the Chargers over Pittsburgh. That happened. We both got Seattle. Here's the reason you won. Kansas City. We both picked the Chiefs to win.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But we went with the over-under.
That's right.
And you won because you picked under 45.
Oh, my God, they actually did it.
Yeah.
They didn't get the over? What?
Yep.
Why did I stupidly do that? But I guess smartly.
But you won because of it.
Oh, man.
And we both have Philly this week, so you win. Congratulations.
I like our little catch-22s on some of these picks.
I like these, too. I'm going to do it again this week.
Oh, boy.
With one, and you'll see.
Oh, no.
But Thursday nighter is...
Question, though.
What?
Did we end up 500 or worse?
Let's see here. 1, 2, 3.
Because that could be really bad.
I'm at 7-8. You're at 8-7.
So if the Eagles lose, we're at 500 or worse. You're at 500 or worse guaranteed.
Yeah.
But you could be at 7-9. You're at
pretty much.
And I could win with an 8-8.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is why I hate doing them now, because we really look dumb.
All right.
Yes, I know it's almost on brand for me to look stupid at this point, but...
I know. Thursday nighter.
We're doing this.
It's Jags Titans. Cody Kessler again.
Fun fact about Jaguars Titans. Even when the Jaguars are good, they can't handle the Titans.
Yeah, weird. That's weird.
But the Titans are so up and down this year, and the fact that the Jaguars are bad, so now they could go ahead and spoil Tennessee's chances at a playoff chance. I'm going to pick Jacksonville. Because that's how the AFC South rolls.
I guess.
They play spoiler against each other.
I'm going to go Tennessee.
Because look at last year. The Jaguars wanted to try to win to see if they can get themselves into that top two seeding. And what did they do? They let the Titans in the playoffs because they stank up the joint.
Yep.
And then this year they lost to Blaine Gabbert, which is illegal in 14 countries.
Just 14?
Well, right. I mean, the rest of the world probably doesn't know how bad Blaine Gabbert really is.
Or who he is.
Exactly.
Panthers, Browns.
I'm going to take Cleveland. I don't know what's going on with Carolina here. But Cleveland played like butt. They usually bounce back. Greg Williams will probably make sure they bounce back. Oh, my God. I'm giving credit to Greg Williams on something. But I think that he could make things kind of...
I think Carolina gets back on track.
I don't know, man.
They have to at some... If they want... If they really
I thought
want,
that they would get back on track this week. They didn't.
Yeah. Give it another week.
I think they've lost a lot of winnable games, and this one's going to count as another one.
Falcons, Packers. Now, no more Mike McCarthy.
Oh, my God, Aaron Rodgers. You are free from the idiocy of Mike McCarthy.
And they win.
Absolutely. I think the worst thing that could have happened to the Packers season was Aaron Rodgers actually be healthy the whole year. Because McCarthy would be there.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be on top of the NFC North, and they would still be a bumbling team that could never get anything done because Mike McCarthy is an idiot.
Yeah.
So please, Cleveland, do not hire him.
Or do?
No. I actually want them to actually have things.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's Cleveland ever done to me? Now, New England, on the other hand. You guys can go ahead and move on from that Belichick guy. He's done enough for you. Or Belichick should retire, and then they hire McCarthy and leave Josh McDaniels at the altar like he left the Colts at the altar. Perfect. <All right. laughs> It's all part of my master plan.
Baltimore and Kansas City.
I don't know why I'm thinking about this much.
It's because Baltimore's got the defense.
Yeah. I also love Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that Josh Allen is making me happy that we have him, I also really would have still loved to have Lamar Jackson.
I'm going Chiefs, but it's gonna be a one score game.
You know what? Let's try to make this interesting. I'm gonna go Baltimore here.
Go Lamar. Team Lamar.
I'm on the Lamar train.
Team Lamar. I'm down for that.
If Harbaugh really pulls him out after he's 3-0, the man deserves to be left at the airport Gerard Gallant style.
New England, Miami.
So I'm going to once again have the catch of,
okay,
if for some stupid reason they bench Lamar Jackson, I'm done with them forever.
Okay. Let me put that in.
You don't have to put that in.
Okay, fine.
I'll just take the Ravens here, assuming that Lamar plays. And if he doesn't, well, then that's my fault for thinking John Harbaugh is actually somewhat smart.
New England, Miami.
New England.
Easy.
Come on, Dolphins. You think you're going to get away with this? They also already beat them this year.
That's true.
So that
New Orleans,
means that
Tampa. Week one rematch.
Revenge is a dish best served cold. Too bad they both play in the South. But we are in December, so it's colder out, and New Orleans is just going to drop it on them.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is they're dropping on them, but they're dropping it on them.
It's going to be, you know what they're going to drop on them?
Anvil, hammer.
No,
entire
touchdowns.
Shopping mall.
Touchdowns. Points.
Interceptions.
Marcus Lattimore. Big game. No, watch. Watch Eli Apple have a big game for some reason. For some reason.
For those that don't know what I'm doing right now, I'm staring at Frank in some sort of stupefied fashion.
That's why
I don't think that Eli Apple is capable of any sort of thing other than looking bad on a football field.
That's why I said for some reason. Revenge for some reason, even though he wasn't on the team in week one. All right, next game. Giants, Redskins.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to take the Giants. Somehow they're winning games right now.
Yeah, because they let Eli Manning throw it less. They leave it to their wide receiver to throw the touchdowns.
Odell Beckham's a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
He throws a better ball than him.
Yes. They're going to keep doing it.
No, they don't get into a winning streak. Get out of here with that.
They've won 3 of 4.
Yeah. They're not going to get a winning streak here.
So you're going Washington?
Yeah.
Washington does have a habit of not beating anyone.
And the Giants are?
No one.
Exactly.
Colts, Texans.
I'm going to go Texans. Indy will make it interesting after having a really bad week. I think with the Texans' remaining schedule, this is the one they can lose.
I'm going Indy. They get back on track and they make the
South. I see that you agree with that take that I had.
Yeah. Well, they make the South more interesting.
I think it's Houston's. It really is. The rest of Houston's schedule
to lose.
The rest of Houston's schedule is pretty soft. It's Charmin soft.
I'm going to check both Houston and Indy's schedule real
quick. Oh, Indy's got a much more difficult one, if only because it's a low
After
bar.
After the Colts, it's Jets, Eagles, Jags.
Yeah.
It's 2 out of 3 that they can do.
Easily.
Maybe 3, depending on how Philly is. The Colts, they got Cowboys, Giants, Titans.
Okay, so it's not as difficult for them either.
Basically, if Indy wins this game, it's essentially they're in the race for wild card. But if they want the division, it's run the table.
What's Indy's record right now?
6-6.
That's a whole two games behind.
They're three games because Houston's 9-3.
Yeah, the South doesn't get interesting anymore. It's over. Indy losing to the Jaguars made it
essentially, but doesn't it get even the slightest? Because all it would take then is just one hiccup by Houston.
One hiccup, yes, but Houston's too good to do that right now.
Sure, that's true. I mean,
Indy losing to Jacksonville did it. Because if it was a 2-game and then they lose this one, then the South gets interesting.
Yeah.
Now, a 3-game lead with 3 weeks left to go?
Well, it's still 4 weeks.
Or 4 weeks. Yeah.
Three game, 4 weeks.
3-game lead in 4 weeks, that's no longer interesting to me.
Okay.
There has to be a collapse and Bill O'Brien getting fired for this to go the wrong way.
All right. Bengals, Chargers.
Chargers.
Easy.
Hugh Jackson's on the Cincy coaching staff. I'm not picking them to win
still,
this year.
He's still there. Denver, San Francisco.
Denver.
Easy.
They've kind of hit a bit of a stride recently. Denver could be storming to a wild card. They're interesting.
Eagles, Cowboys.
Eagles. I don't pick the Cowboys.
So I'm going Eagles too. So Dallas is going to win.
Probably. They beat New Orleans. I don't know how that happened.
I still don't know how. Pittsburgh, Oakland.
Ew.
I know. Even Road Ben's going to dominate this game.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit, Arizona.
I'm going to take Detroit, but I don't like it.
Same. Okay. Here is my... Was that one pick I was talking about earlier?
Uh-oh.
With based on if someone plays.
Uh-oh.
Rams, Bears.
If Mitchell Trubisky plays.
Yes.
I'm still taking the Rams.
Rams have to lose another game somewhere.
Nope. No, they don't. No, they don't.
They're not.
They're that good. Frank, what's the two games that they've... What's the one game that they've lost, actually?
New Orleans.
Which, by the way... Thanks to them derping against the Cowboys, the Rams could play them in L.A.
I know.
And you want to know what that does? Motivates you. And you want to know what the Rams' schedule is after the Bears?
Eagles, Cardinals, Niners.
Pathetic. they still have the offensive firepower to do it. Yes, Trubisky has been fantastic. But the first game, he's coming off of a shoulder injury, and you're going to run into Aaron Donald? No thanks.
All right.
Yes, the Bears have Khalil Mack, but you know what the Rams have? Another defensive player of the year holdout that wanted money and got money.
All right.
And he's worth every penny, too.
The nice thing is that that's a Sunday nighter.
Nice.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, very good. The Monday nighter is Minnesota and Seattle.
Solid. I'm going to take the Seahawks.
I'm going to take Seattle, too.
Minnesota is decent, but at the same time, I like what Seattle's bringing.
Kirk Cousins really is showing to be what?
He's an okay quarterback. Yeah. He's an okay quarterback. If their running game was able to actually do something this year, they'd actually be able to say something about this.
Yeah, if Dalvin Cook was is healthy like all year.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. All right. Do you want to pick the Jets and Bills?
I'm taking the Bills.
I will too.
The Jets are a bad football team. Yeah. Wait, did they beat Tennessee yesterday?
No.
They lost that game?
Yeah.
By the way, Jets-Bills might be Sam Darnold's return to the lineup.
Yes. I know.
That will be a hell of a story. That's what I'm hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
If McCown plays, that's a Bills win, no problem. As one Laiotis McKelvin would say, point blank, period.
So real quick, I have the playoff picture up for the NFL.
Okay.
Right now, the 1-2, Kansas City, New England.
Are we calling our shot right now?
Do you want to? We want to save it.
We're going to make playoff picks? We're going to do this every week?
Well, let's look at them. Kansas City, New England, 1-2. Houston's the 3 at 9-3 right now.
Pittsburgh's 4. Because someone has to win the North at this point.
Yeah.
How far off is Baltimore?
Baltimore, realistically, is a half game back of the division. Pittsburgh 7-4-1. Baltimore 7-5. Lamar Jackson might lead him to the division title.
Stupid tie.
That tie is keeping Pittsburgh over Baltimore right now.
Yes, it is.
Well, who's got the tiebreaker?
They split the series.
Did they?
Division record's going to tell it.
Yeah, they did. So the next tiebreaker will be
division record.
Division record?
For a division title? Yes.
Okay. So I'm gonna take a quick look at the division records then.
I'm fairly certain.
I'm looking at the conference standings. I gotta go to.
Well, based on the league scheduling, their records will be finished off and determined throughout the next four games.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's division record right now is 3-1-1. Baltimore's 2-3.
So they each only have one.
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh's got it. 3-1-1. The best that Baltimore could do is 3-3. Pittsburgh will not fall below 3-2-1.
Mm-hmm. So Pittsburgh's going to have the tiebreaker.
Pittsburgh's got the edge.
Baltimore's got to outright have more wins. Well,
why are we talking about tiebreakers?
I know, right?
Pittsburgh's got a tie.
Yeah, that's right. Pittsburgh's got a tie.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly it. We don't even need to look at tiebreakers. They have a tiebreaker. It's the tie.
Yeah.
That breaks it.
And then the Chargers are the 5 and 9-3. Baltimore is at 6.
The poor Chargers. They don't have any fans, and they can't even get the division.
Yeah.
Everyone picked them to win the division. Yeah, not everyone, but like they were popular.
They were the popular pick.
They were a popular pick for the West.
Yeah.
And then Baltimore, I'd imagine, is sitting at wild card number 2.
Yeah. 7-5. And then Miami.
What?
Because they're 6-6.
Nice job, Bills. You couldn't have finished the job.
Miami, Indy, Denver, Tennessee, all at 6-6. Miami somehow has the tiebreaker over all of them.
It's a shame the Bills couldn't win this game because 8-8 realistically could get you a wild card spot.
Yeah. NFC, LA 11-1, New Orleans 10-2, Chicago 3 at 8-4. Dallas is still leading the East. They'll probably win the division at 9-7. They're 7-5. Seattle's the 5 at 7-5 as well.
Yeah, Seattle, and I'm thinking, is a lot.
Washington.
Washington?
Is at 6.
Aren't they 6-6?
They're 6-5.
Oh.
Because they haven't played yet.
Oh.
They play tonight.
Yeah. So they're 6-6?
But if they lose, assuming they lose, then Minnesota would take their spot. Because Minnesota has the tie.
Man, 6-5-1. Who thought playoff picture would be decided by a couple
ties.
Of teams that have tied?
Huh. Okay.
That's wacky.
Yeah.
It's wacky, Frank. Who's behind Minnesota?
Carolina.
At?
6-6. And assuming Philly wins.
That would be 6-6?
They would also be 6-6.
Ugh. Well, 4 weeks, hopefully we don't get a team that goes 8-8 and falls bass-ackwards into a spot.
Sure. Want to talk some hockey?
Yes.
Okay. Sabres play tonight.
Yes.
William Nylander signed his contract.
Yes.
He got it. It was pretty nice.
Yes. All right. Anyway. So, it's Nashville and Toronto.
Yeah.
And really.
Expect Nylander to play tomorrow. Play against Buffalo, too.
I'm not caring about that right now. I don't care about the Leafs.
I know.
I care about how the Sabres are getting shafted in all this. You have to travel back home from Nashville tonight after an 8 p.m. start, by the way. Is it an 8 p.m. start?
Yeah.
It is. Even stupider. Travel back, at least you're home, to play Toronto the next night. Toronto the next night. After you've just played Nashville. Thanks, NHL. Why don't you go ahead and,
I mean, to be fair,
why don't you
we
go
also,
ahead and spill some Legos out in the hallway, steal my shoes, and push me in there?
Would you be acting like this if the team was bad? Would you be acting like this if the team was average?
Yes.
It stinks.
Because
yes.
It's still a butt move. It's still terrible.
Yeah, you know. No, it is. It's
because going into the season, Toronto, a Stanley Cup favorite, and Nashville, a Stanley Cup favorite, back to back. When you have to travel from one of those cities as well. On a late start. Do I need to continue to show my frustration on this and my saltiness?
Just get through today and tomorrow.
Because, bitch, I am salty. Speaking of bitch, Jerry Hughes. We're going back to football for a second.
God. Yes, he called the ref.
Who would have thought that I would have to say, and I quote, speaking of bitch.
Jerry Hughes.
Ever.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Jerry Hughes. If the ref really called him a bitch, I think I know the context as to how. I absolutely know the context of how. It's pretty much Hughes is yelling at him about some bad calls that were made in that game. Hughes was held on the Dolphins' last touchdown because, of course, it's the Jerry Hughes special where his arm is flailing about in the air because he's trying to fight through a hold because he's always fighting through a hold because he's always being held.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the ref probably said something along the lines of, quit being a little bitch. And it is caught on camera saying, call me a bitch again. It's just like, oh boy, that's interesting.
Hmm.
I got two snarky comments. You ready?
Yeah.
One, watch the NFL fine or suspend Jerry Hughes instead of the officials.
Sounds about right.
Two, here's my other snarky comment, and this one's going to hit a lot harder. Now they want to look at the video of any sort of player misconduct. You decide to do it now instead of when someone's shoving and kicking a girl? No, now you want to look at the video. Okay, I'm done. We can go back to hockey.
Okay.
As you've noticed, I've gotten myself into a bit of a mood because of my saltiness about the stupid scheduling quirk that they've given the Sabres.
So, just get through today and tomorrow. That's pretty much what...
I know, but by getting through...
They do.
If they lose both of them, this is a 4-game losing streak.
I know.
Get me a pair of points. I don't care how it happens at this point. Even if it is said four-game losing streak. If you get three overtime losses in a row, not the worst thing in the world. Get me points.
I also say get through because after Toronto, they don't play till Saturday.
Again.
3 days off.
Again, if you're a good team, I need points. Get me points. I want two out of four here. I don't care how it happens. Do not care how it happens. If you beat Nashville, lose to Toronto, okay, fine.
Plus,
if you lose to Nashville but beat Toronto, yo, let's go.
Plus,
if you lose to both of them in overtime, I'll grit my teeth and be okay with it. If you lose both of these and get 1 point or less, it's a bit harsh.
It's harsh, but I'm not worried by it. I wouldn't even be worried by it. Here's why. After Toronto, they play Philly. After Philly, I'm not done. After Philly, they play Los Angeles. After Los Angeles, they play Arizona. Remember?
I want at least 5 of 6 there.
Remember when, before before the streak started, and I said before the Tampa game, the first Tampa game,
yep.
I'm looking at these next 13 games. Philly's that 13th game.
When we thought Philly was actually not going to be trash?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoops. They still hit your win
threshold. It's because Philly's always a good game.
Yeah. But they have already hit your win threshold.
Yes.
I do remember that.
Yes.
But if I want my team to actually be good and stay in that top three.
The nice thing is they have a 5-point lead against Boston right now.
Again, if I want to stay in the top three, keep eating points.
Oh, just get points.
Pac-Man. Waka, 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 waka.
Just get points.
I need two out of this. I know you're playing two of the best teams in a crappy scheduling quirk, but if you're good.
Yeah, get two. If they can get two in any means possible, that's a win.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's literally a win.
That's what I'm saying is
but after that, it is the next three games.
I want 2 points because if this team is good, you have to reinforce the belief to everyone. I think they're good.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm asking for 2 points. I think that they should get 2 points. And like I said, I don't care how it happens because good teams find ways to accumulate points in the standings.
The nice thing is after this back-to-back, they don't have another back-to-back until Christmas.
Okay.
Because they play the 21st and 22nd.
All right, then. But again.
Actually, no, I'm wrong. Sorry. The 15th and the 16th.
Well, there's that. All right.
That's all right.
But my biggest thing is this. I know you're playing two of the best teams. But when was the last time that they did this? They're playing two of the best teams in the league. Oh, wait. They're playing three of the best teams in the league in a 4-day stretch.
And they won all three of them.
If you're still good, if you're still going to make this run this year, get me 2 points.
Yeah.
Show me. I mean, I still think they are for real in the end of this. But you know what a for real team does? They win one of these two games. Or they at least get 2 points out of it.
They get something.
You cut in half against two of the best teams in the league. That shows everyone that you're for real.
One of which also just got one of just finally.
Because right now, after losing two straight games, after they've won 10 straight, people go, oh, look at this. They're the plucky Sabres. They're going to go to the playoffs, but they're not for real. You know, fans should enjoy this. No, I'm ready. Break my heart, Sabres. I'm in. And that means I'm going to make demands of this team because that's what being in is about.
We're in the December schedule now.
Like, this is... Let's go.
This isn't more of, it's just beginning hype or something like that. No, now it's... When you hit December, now you start to hit the grind.
Let's hit it. Let's get after this and let's get points.
And that's what this next 2 months are going to be. It's going to be a grind.
Mm-hmm.
December, January is always a grind in the NHL schedule. After the All-Star break is when things start to lighten up a bit, and then when you hit February, that's when you start talking playoffs.
You want my
that's
biggest
when you
reason?
Start talking everything because then, hang on, the trade deadline comes up. mm-hmm. at the end of February. And now you're talking, are we for, like, that's when you talk, if we're going for it this year, they might need to add a piece. When we were talking about potential trades, too. That's when February, when that grind comes out and you're done with the All-Star, with the All-Star weekend, that's when you can start talking it. And by the way, All-Star fan voting has started. Four Sabres on the list.
Four Sabres on the list. They are the Rasmai and Jeff Skinner and Jack Eichel, right?
It's not the Rasmai. It is one Rasmus. One Rasmus.
Who's the second? Who's the fourth player then?
Carter Hutton.
Really?
You know, he is third in the league in wins.
Good.
And he's up there in save percentage.
All right, which Rasmus is it? Is it Risto?
No.
Dahlin's got the All-Star bid.
He's on the fan voting right now.
Poor Risto. So it's Eichel, Skinner, Dahlin, and Hutton.
Yeah.
Okay, then. The way they're playing, I suspect two of them make it. Skinner, Eichel.
Yeah, probably.
Because there's only one.
And it is in San Jose.
Isn't it only three defensemen that make it, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Dahlin, I don't know how big of a shot you've got, because you've got to deal with Hedman, you've got to deal with McDonough, and that's just on one team alone right there.
I don't think McDonough's going to make the All-Star team. You got Hedman, you got Aaron Ekblad.
You don't have to deal with Carlson anymore, though.
That's a plus.
But Thomas Chabot's having a season of his life.
Yeah. Shabbat's going to, yeah.
And every team needs an All-Star, so you might as well send Shabbat, right?
Yeah.
Dang it. There's one spot guaranteed gone.
Yeah. Hutton could legit make the goalies.
Vasilevskiy's
been injured.
Price has been butt.
Price has been okay. He might get
honestly, by his standards, he's butt.
Yeah. He might get in because you need someone from Montreal, though.
That's true.
If it's somebody else, yeah, like Max Domi.
Max Domi could get
Hutton
in.
Hutton could be it because it'd probably be Freddie Anderson and Hutton.
Oh, I mean, like, yeah. But again, Hutton's third in wins, and I mean, Carey Price has been, for the most part, bad by his standards.
Yeah.
Vasilevskiy's injured. Tuukka Rask has been splitting time with Jaro Halak.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Anderson, he's giving up all the goals, even though it's not his fault.
Longo's been out, and Reimer's been bad, and any other goaltender, really. It would be down to Anderson, Price, maybe Vasilevskiy when he comes back, and Hutton.
Yep. So if Hutton keeps it up, he could be an All-Star.
Yay.
Get your game on. Go play. But to circle back on something that I wanted to say, there's another major reason I want 2 points out of this at minimum. So that Mike Milbury can shut the hell up with his stupid backhand compliments of this team.
You know he's never going to.
I know, but I want evidence.
You know it's never going to happen.
I'll be like, oh, yeah, they won 4-2 against Nashville. Or, oh, yeah, they beat Toronto 7-4 and attract me.
And you watch that game happen because it's on NBC.
So, to quote Rob Ray, I'm going to say it, suck on that there.
Okay, good work.
I wanted to hold it back, but I'm not gonna. I just don't want the backhanded compliments anymore. I want people to know that this team is legit. And there's only one way to do that. Proof. I'm in. I am locked in on this team, man. I'm full tilt. Let's do this thing. So there we go. All right, Frank, we could talk about William Nylander here if we have a second.
Yeah. He did sign the contract.
He's getting traded after the year.
I would expect it.
Did you notice the language? He has a modified 10-team no-trade clause in the final year of his contract. 6 years later. If he's playing for Toronto, are they bad in 6 years to the point where there's a no-trade clause that has 10 teams? That means he's going somewhere. And then the team is giving him the courtesy of, we made this contract for you because you're not going to be here. And you're going to be able to pick your own destiny after the end of this contract. That's what that is. It is a modified no-trade clause.
Yeah.
That tells me he's not here.
Yeah, he won't see the end of the contract in Toronto.
I don't even think he'll see the start of that contract in Toronto. Well, technically this year he will.
Yeah.
But
Because this year the cap hits 10.2. And then next year it goes back to what it's supposed to be. That's part of like the CBA thing when you sign after the season started.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think there's a lot to that. But the most interesting thing for me is, and always will be, everything about that negotiation process tells me that he's not going to be a Maple Leaf next year.
And I think because I remember when I was talking about broken relationship, because it went this long, and they literally submitted the contract to the NHL with 5 minutes to spare. That's how close it was.
That was actually pretty awesome. How bold are you?
I don't know if that was done on purpose, but supposedly Nylander called Dubas, or at least called Toronto at like 4:30 and said, let's just get this done.
He didn't want to sit out the whole year.
He didn't want to sit out the whole year.
They called his bluff. They called his bluff.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's like this. Like, you're just staring at someone and just, okay, fine. That's what that was.
So it does sound like Toronto was prepared to sit him the whole year.
Yeah, because they were what? Second in the league.
Yeah, they're still really good and without him. Yeah.
And without Austin Matthews for a while too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that just turned into Nylander's watching everything happen. Just
All right. Yeah.
All right, fine. I won't take $7 million a year.
Don't take 6.9. And Dubas is like, nice.
Grow up, Francis.
Oh, come on, you know I'm right. He'd be saying nice for two reasons.
I said suck on that, and I've also previously said sniff the glue. I can't really send myself out on a moral high horse here. But I can, however, send us off by saying thank you for listening to Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com on demand audio. So, Sabres, they've got a tough stretch here in these next 2 days. The Bills get some New York Jets.
Yay.
Super.
Yay.
Well, I know that the next episode will surely recap what happens over these next 2 days for the Sabres. And, of course, anything else that's happening in the world of sports. One shout-out that does need to happen, though, Frank. The UB men's basketball team.
17th now.
17th in the nation.
They're moving on up.
Let's go. The UB Bulls football team playing in Mobile, Alabama for the Dollar General Bowl.
Despite losing in the conference championship game, blowing that game.
Heartbreakingly.
They still get the best bowl game a MAC team can get.
I thought the Potato Bowl goes to the MAC champion.
Northern Illinois didn't get the Potato Bowl. Western Kentucky did. Or not West Kentucky, Western Michigan did.
Where did Northern Illinois go?
They can look that up really quickly, because I saw it.
That's interesting. Hmm. I'm kind of shocked on that one.
The Boca Raton Bowl.
Oh, they just chose to go to Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real about something here. There are three. You're given three choices. You can go to Alabama, Idaho, or Florida. Where are you going for your bowl game?
That's true.
And if they were given the choice, which I'm sure they were, as the MAC champion, they said, hey, guys, pack your bags. We're going to Florida. And the students are like,
yay.
Okay.
And they're going to play UAB.
A team that didn't have a football team 2 years ago.
Good for them.
Look out. You're gonna get hit in the mouth, baby.
Good for them.
Yes.
Good for UAB. They went 10-3 this year, too.
Yep.
Good for them.
But I'm just looking at this and going, Yeah, let's see. Where you guys want to go here? Frank, you're on a football team. You want to go to Idaho, Alabama, or you want to go to Florida for your last game of the year?
That's true, yeah.
The last game of your college career. What do you think these seniors are thinking right now?
Yeah, that's true.
Let's get some having fun in Florida. I think that's a good idea.
So UB, Dollar General Bowl, they play Troy.
All right, there you go.
December 22nd.
All right, now we'll give the send-off. Thanks for listening to the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Curry.
And we come at you every Monday, every Friday on WGR550.com. I had to stifle back a yawn. Don't mind me, though. I'm not bored. I'm not tired. I just had to yawn. It's because there's not enough oxygen flowing to my brain, which is probably the story of my life later.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.